Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is episode 196 of the Distraction Pieces podcast, and we've got a two-parter for you here, and it's a hell of a two-parter. It is an emotional one, so strap yourselves in, ladies and gentlemen. Ye gads, yeah. This is going to get intense for everyone, so let's all try and be cool about it. The reason for this podcast is it's the 1 year anniversary of the Hardcore Listing podcast, which is on the network, and I hit the boys up because they started on the Drunkcast. Obviously, the Drunkcast was me, Chris and Stu, and we've eased off on the Drunkcast because I've got so many guests lined up at the moment. Like, you wouldn't believe, I'm recorded almost until June. I've got like two or three I'm squeezing in, and they're just the most amazing guests, as you would have seen from last week's insanely inspiring episode with Patrice Couleurs from Black Lives Matter. I've had some great chats online with people about that because people have tried to debate me, and I said when I posted it, I'm happy to debate any of it if you've listened to the podcast. And all the people who wanted to argue hadn't listened to the podcast, so I wouldn't debate them, and I just kind of trolled them and pissed them off. And they're like, why have you had Black Lives Matter on? They support murder and stuff like that. And I was like, have you listened? I'm not listening. Well, I'm not going to have the discussion. I'm fine to have a discussion. If you've listened, you will have heard how misinterpreted they are, how inaccurate a lot of the reports are, and just a lot of the movements and changes that they've gone through. It was an amazing episode. Another amazing episodes. Still, everyone is listening to the Mother's Day episode. I'm getting messages almost every day about new people who listen to that. That was me talking to my mum about her mum. And the Rutger Bregman one is the other one that seems to be a long-lasting, I'm getting a lot of messages about still. So, yeah. It's cool, but today's podcast, as said, it's the Hardcore Listing, lads. And what we decided to do was an episode of Hardcore Listing on Distraction Pieces. And the way Hardcore Listing works is the guest, in this case me, picks a topic to do a top five of. So I chose to do my top five songs that make you cry. And they chose their top fives as well. We had to make it a two-parter. I was on the gin, because gin is, you know, mother's ruin. It's a bit of a teary booze. So I was on the gin. Stu was on the gin. Chris wasn't drinking. And Chris was kind of convinced that he wasn't going to get particularly teary. I said from the start, in planning these, I've been welling up and crying. So we've split it into two parts. By the end of part one, we're already starting to get teary. Part two is essentially just us bawling our eyes out. But I really enjoyed it because I think it's important. I don't think there's anything wrong with crying. I don't think there should be any macho nonsense about any of this stuff. The reasons we have for our emotions and tears are genuine, and yeah, it's an episode I really enjoyed, and I'll let you get into it after I've said that we're brought to you as ever by speechdevelopmentrecords.com. Now, it should be like payday, right? And with that being the case, it'd be cool if you have any spare change to go and buy some stuff from speechdevelopmentrecords.com. If you want to support a podcast that you maybe listen to, you know, at least an hour a week, it's kind of good value. Hopefully you'll do that. Yeah, speechdevelopmentrecords.com. That's all I'll say. I won't ramble on about that. I will also mention, though, that everyone on this podcast, me, Chris and Stu, are returning this Saturday night to the book club in Hoxton for our We Are Lizards club night. We've been doing that for over 5 years now. Sold out events, all sold out in a row. It's kind of mad. We used to do it monthly. We've cut it down to every other month because of my schedule, to be completely honest. But yeah, it's amazing. We have a drink and we DJ and we play the best tunes and everyone has a laugh and the atmosphere is always amazing and friendly and warm. I wear a rubber lizard mask. The more drunk I get, the more aggressive hip hop I play. The less drunk I am, the more variation there'll be. This month's guest, we've got a block party DJ set. So that's Russell from Block Party coming down to DJ for us. I'll be DJing Stu, Chris, DJ Destruction and Discotheque Credits, which are our two kind of our residents, who really are the reason it's been amazing atmosphere and consistent for 5 years, because they're really good residents and we've had them at pretty much every show, and they kind of they set the base too well for us to storm on drunk and ruin. So yeah, this Saturday the 31st at the Book Club, come down, hang out. It's free before 9 and then it's £5 after. We've got an extended license actually, so the price will be going up because we're open till 3. We have to pay extra to be open till 3. As the promoters, I don't know about the venue, but as the promoters, we do. So it'll be going up at 11 or something like that by a quid or two. But still, it's dirt cheap, particularly for London prices. So come down and party with us. Earlier you get there, the more I'm up for photos, signing stuff, having a chat. The later the night goes on, the more drunk I get, the more busy, and crucially, the more noisy it gets, the harder it is to have any kind of real interaction and discussion. But I'll always say hello. I'll be there from beginning till the end. Anyway, let's get on with part one. Part one's up now. Part two will be up at midnight. I'll be back at the end. And yeah. All right. I'll see you in a bit. That's picking up okay,
yes,
isn't it?
I think that looks fine.
Yeah.
So I'll now begin. I don't know how to begin because I'm going to do a separate introduction. That's the welcome, welcome, welcome bit. Okay. So how do you guys begin with Dr. Feelgood and Atom Nuts?
Yeah, that's what how we've been starting recently, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or Chrissy Goldtouch. I'm bringing that one in now. Aren't I? Oh, Chrissy Goldtouch, the CGT.
Yeah,
the CGT. He kept a straight face for most of that.
Yeah,
surprising for me.
CGT, I like that.
I'm sure I will have explained it in the intro, but I'm joined today by Christopher Glasson / Chris Passion and Stuart Whiffin of the Hardcore Listing Podcast.
What's up?
Hey, mate.
And they are of the Hardcore Listing Podcast in this instance, because this isn't a drunk cast.
Okay.
This isn't what we're normally here for. We're doing, because it's the first birthday of Hardcore Listing, we're doing a Hardcore Listing on the Distraction Pieces podcast.
Yeah.
So that's exciting.
It's flipped exciting. It. Who'd have thought that we'd be here a year down the line?
And you've not missed a week or anything. You've been doing it constantly.
No. Like, we're now doing, obviously, with the Patreon, we're doing like at least two podcasts a week.
Mm.
It's become an obsession. Doing top fives and listing things is becoming a bit of a problem.
Mm.
You know?
I was in Acast the other week, and we were talking about how podcasters over the years have got hung up on different things, and for ages a lot of them didn't want sponsors because it felt like they were selling out or whatever else. That's now become completely the norm.
Yeah.
For ages that they didn't want a sponsor ad halfway through, that's become completely normal.
Mm-hmm.
And Patreon and stuff as well. And the thing that we were discussing was a lot of podcasters seem to think you have to either have sponsors or a Patreon, but if you're
greedy.
At a certain level, or not greedy, no. But if you're at a certain level, it's fine to have both. Because if you're not earning enough from sponsors to do it full time, but you want to do it full time, then that makes sense to have both. So
that was our thinking on it, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So how does Patreon work? Again, in a minute we'll kind of restart, and you guys will take over as hosts. But I want to just chat to you a bit first about the year that's been. So a few months ago, you decided to launch a Patreon because the podcast kind of, if we're honest, went far better than you all expected, right?
And, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And you could see it becoming a full-time job, which is mental within the first year. It's testament to how good you guys have done that within the first year you're going, we're looking at ways to leave our jobs and do this full-time.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, possibly the nicest thing you've ever said about us there, by the way.
I'm waiting.
I didn't say anything. I thought, like, he's going to hit us with something now. It has been a bit bananas, hasn't it, mate? We was just your dickhead mates that got
one
drunk.
Dickhead mate, one gold touch.
Thanks,
mate.
Man. Yeah. And guested on your drunk casts. And it was you that was saying, just do your own one and see what happens. Whether that was to try and get rid of us from yours. Yeah. But we, obviously you come on the first one, which was great, and then...
And we treated it a bit like the first month, I think we were treating it a bit like the Drunk Cast, because we were drinking heavily.
You were getting hammered on
there
everyone.
There was one
initially
that we hadn't released, obviously, because it's just an absolute nightmare.
But in that first month, we'd kind of rinsed our phone book of our contacts from DJing and doing the nights for you and stuff. So we went to Brighton and done Elastica, and we went... Yep. We had Block Party, and we had Ed Skrein from Game of Thrones and Deadpool. And so we started strong. We rinsed all our contacts right at the beginning, didn't we? And to try and sort of go in hard. And then within a month, we thought it started to feel a bit more, I won't say professional, but comfortable, didn't it?
Yeah.
Like, we started to just not be panicking about what to say. And we just thought, well, fuck it. Like, let's just see what people make of it, and we'll just have our usual chats.
I think we'd realise, and we started to identify our relationship being one of, you know, a love hate type thing, isn't it? So we're constantly horrible to each other, and that kind of works.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's a beautiful setup of a podcast being the top fives, because it means that as long as you've prepared a bit, it's fucking easy.
Because
you can work through the top five. Yeah. And then you can jump in, and it works nicely, because I think you've got some really good interviews out of people about their careers because they've got relaxed first thinking about something that they're just passionate about, and they're not just having another interview where it's, so how did it all start? And
That's the key. We managed to drop inane questions that fans of whoever the guest is would want to hear.
Yeah.
But it's quite strange. When you tell them that you need a top five out of them, they're like, oh, okay. And then you might speak to them a few days before, and you're like, you've got your five, so we can have a quick look before, like, we're recording, because we need to do any sort of prepping if we don't know anything about it. And generally, that's when you get the, fucking hell, mate, it's been doing my head in. Like, I thought about doing this, now I thought about this, and, like, I've got, like, 14, and I can't... And you just think, brilliant. Because that way, the five they've got, they really feel passionate about.
Yeah.
So, and where they've drilled it down, by the time we start recording, they want to get that five out, and they want to tell you, and they want to tell you why they love them so much.
Yeah.
Which,
but for the people who are their fans as well, it gives them an insight into what inspires the people that inspire them, and that's kind of quite fun. And then that's when we slip in the will questions, like, tell me about your father and your childhood.
Yeah.
And then they spill their guts. Well, it always comes out naturally.
Yeah.
And not all the time we go into personal stuff. Sometimes we don't get there, but we do get some great chats out of people.
I think it's evolved from just getting drunk and talking nonsense, and, you know, we still do that a lot, but we do get, you know, we get on the level, don't we? We've had some real serious chats with the likes of Gal Porter, and I'm trying to think who else we've had.
Mike Joyce, and
Adam from Baby Shambles. We're very, very sort of deep there, didn't we?
Yeah.
It was an interesting chat. We got to hear some harrowing stories of what it was like being in Baby Shambles at the height of that madness.
Yeah, completely.
And then we have our fair share of absolute bollocks, like me talking about having a coffee enema and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know why have I brought that up now, but
just to bring that back in. I think one of the things I get the most is whenever I retweet someone who's just started listening to the podcast asking for recommendations, the most common thing is, go for some of the ones that you wouldn't naturally have chosen, rather than cherry picking the familiar ones. And that works, that's all the more irrelevant with your podcast, because you might be into the guest, but you might never have heard of the guest, but you're into the top five. And I had that with the lad from A Menswear,
Johnny Dane.
I didn't particularly know much of them.
Yeah.
I'm not even that into Bowie.
Yeah.
But it was amazing hearing the passion and the stories about picking the favourite Bowie songs and hearing their career. It was mind-blowing. Yeah. And Matt Stock recently with his Mickey Rourke ones. I love Mickey Rourke. But again, to hear about all them films again, it made me go, I need to do this.
Johnny was a great one, wasn't he? Again, obviously, I'm of an age where Britpop was fell at the right time for me. But as a Bowie fan as well, we tied it in with the anniversary of Bowie's passing, didn't we, with that one? And Menswear often get looked upon as a novelty sort of Britpop act, and to an extent they were, but Johnny just went in and we sort of saw behind the curtain of what would be a great musical film.
It's a movie waiting to happen. He was, because of all the stories we've heard previously, nothing like Johnny's. He was a total blagger, effectively. Yeah. I mean, that's in his own words.
Yeah.
And it's,
but 100% a blagger, that they had Enemy front cover and stuff like that without having an album or
a song.
Oh, and they had their first gigs and they're standing backstage like, we've got two songs. Yeah. We've got a sold out room.
Yeah.
How are we going to, like, to be that much of a blagger to the point? Yeah. Where, I don't know how you ever think, oh, it will figure itself out.
Yeah.
We've got, no, it's three songs I think they have. Yeah. And they've got a sold out room of a few hundred people. And it's like, we'll figure it out. Let's just go out. And it's like, that's next level blagging. Yeah. That's insane stories.
It was a really, really good chat, that.
But again, his openness as well. His kind of openness of, we didn't have anything. Yeah. We looked cool.
Mm.
That was about his awareness of the fact that the reason it failed was because it was all blagged.
Yeah.
And as soon as it got to a certain point, they were like, oh, you've not actually got all these songs and you're not really a band. You're just some lads in good clothes.
All hype.
Knocking out three songs and then just saying, thank you, good night.
Yeah. Cheers,
bye.
And then people lining up with checkbooks.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Oh, one of the early ones, Brett Goldstein. I've had him on my podcast. He's a friend. I've done Corner Boys with him, but
it's my favourite.
His stories of weirdest gigs was just one of the best things.
Yeah.
It just had me in tears. Just some of the situations he's got in were just insane. And again, it helps that he's a stand-up, so he can
deliver
them really well. Mm. And I remember it was a two-part, I think, and it was two different top fives, wasn't it?
He'd done top five weirdest gigs, like his stand-up gigs, and he also done top five last lines in movies.
Yes, that's right. And I listened to them both back-to-back, wondering, around London. And it was just, again, it was gold. In fact, I was it on that one where Chris praised the amazing performance from Ken Livingstone.
We spoke about that last night.
Again,
we had we had another stand-up on last night,
Rich Wilson,
and he was actually, Brett talks about a story when he was in Ibiza with Catherine Ryan and Rich Wilson.
Yeah,
and it's a horrendous story of a dreadful gig, and we got Richie's take on it last night.
But during it, obviously, Rich had been listening to our podcast and felt like he had to point out that Ben Kingsley isn't
performance in Ken Levinson's performance in Sexy Don Beast Lowe's was fantastic.
Genuinely, one of my favourite things of the podcast, and again, it's because of working on stuff in it, but Chris regularly misses jokes that you've thrown out there, and it's just hilarious because it's always when Chris is at his most polite as well. It's not even when he's being a bit rowdy or boisterous, but you'll make a joke and he'll be like, yeah, so, and also blah, blah, and just completely miss things. And, oh, mate, it's amusing to hear. Because, again, with a warmth as well. It's not like amusing in a horrible way, but it's just so funny.
I mean, you generally send me a horrible text the next day going,
I'll generally text you about it.
But Chris missed that, didn't he? I was like, yeah.
It's because it's jokes, because it's that weird thing of, if it was a live show, you'd be saying the jokes to get laughs. Yep. So it's even funnier if you do a really good one and it gets absolutely nothing. It's like the biggest insult, but it just makes it all the funnier.
You got an example? What have I got to laugh for? What laughs am I in debt of?
There's been a few. The one that I texted you about was when you made a joke name of Axel Slash as a guitarist. And you're like, I think that's another band, actually. And then continued on. And I was like...
Saying doing top fives is easy though, or it's kind of quick. It becomes difficult. Like, I'll start doing these things at home, obviously, and the prep, there's so many, you can disappear down a rabbit hole.
Because
when someone posts a question like the one we did today, the one we're going to do, have we said what it's about?
We're doing top five songs that make you cry. Or make me cry.
Exactly. I haven't chosen
top five songs that make you cry. I mean, I can, but I've gone for ones that make me cry as well.
Yeah, solid choice.
Here you go, Pip. Here's your worst songs.
I feel every time she says something now, I'm just going to go... so there's levels to it. You think, well, you know, is it tears of joy, sadness?
Yeah.
Yeah,
am I going to then actually fracture it down to actually these are sad songs or happy songs?
And this is kind of a weird one though, because you're on my podcast, but we're doing yours.
Yeah,
Because when you have guests on, you don't always prepare your own top five of their top five. You know, you'll always have some, but it's not the focus is on their top five. Yeah. And then you'll throw some in or go through yours at the end. Because otherwise,
a few honourable mentions thrown in, don't we? Just to kind of, sort of, you know, fill out the hour, really.
But again, it's nice if you've prepared in that way, because it means if it is a bit thin and it is, what's your number five, and they read out a name and then have no story to go. You're like, thankfully, okay, that hasn't well, here's my five.
Because sometimes defining what it is, the reason why something does something to you can sometimes it's difficult to articulate, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And it might be so personal to them that, you know, you really had to be there sort of thing. So, yeah, being prepared in that way does kind of help.
It's kind of the reason I picked this one, and we'll jump into it shortly, but when I did an audience questions one, an Ask Pip episode, and I got a question that was based off of a question that had been on one of your top fives, and it was five people that you'd have for dinner, and Chris chose a T-Rex as one of them, and you chose Chris, and it was all Chris's were ludicrous, and yours were quite nice. And in that episode, I picked a top five, and I cried because I picked our mate, I picked Chris, and I picked a load of our mates, and our mate Jay, who died. And I just, it was that thing of, I'd love to have one meal with him there and our mates to see. Because he stayed how he was, and we've all changed loads. And I think all of our mates have changed in really good ways and positive ways, and it'd be a beautiful thing. And I cried, and I almost edited it out, because I was like, this is a bit, it's a bit much, isn't it? And then I decided to leave it in, because I love a good cry, and there's nothing wrong with crying, it's positive. So I chose this topic, because I think I'm likely to cry a bit as we're doing this, and it's going to be uncomfortable, but we're going to be ripping the piss out of each other, I'm sure, as well, and
Well, I kind of was like, why have you two pricks picked this? Because you said it, and she was like, oh, it's a really great idea. And I thought, what, we're going to just sit there getting, you know, getting all teary-eyed and stuff like that?
All right, Chuck Norris, fucking hell.
And I genuinely thought to myself the other day, a couple of songs have made me cry, but I'm not really one for it, movies more. And then I started doing this, and then it just became very apparent that I've totally forgotten how many songs do rip me to pieces. And so last Saturday, and I think I've told you both this, but I was doing DIY in my ground floor flat, and I have subjected to people on that ground floor who walk past my flat of all manner of things.
Yeah.
Hey, CGT!
That's a feel good! And this weekend was... crying my eyes out whilst installing worktops.
Amazing.
And DI crying, as we've now captioned. Yep. And I don't know if anyone walked past and caught me, but I was absolutely bawling my eyes. And it was a case of, I knew what songs it was going to be, because as soon as they come on, within like 30 or 40 seconds, like I'm welling up. And I was a bit nervous today, actually. Because I don't know how it'll be now we're all together. I don't know if we're going to play them and then not come back. Or
well, that's it. I think if we just talk about them, because me and you were discussing this, Chris, because you can't really play songs on podcasts because of licensing. But I was kind of saying, and we started to talk about, I thought it'd be better to play now, a podcast, listening to a song and maybe hearing some whimpering, it's not going to be very engaging. I mean, but us talking about it and talking about the songs and talking about... Like I was going over a couple of the lyrics on mine with my mum after I had her on the podcast, and I was welling up. I couldn't get through them. So it's going to be more us talking about the songs, why it gets us emotional. If you want to go through some lyrics and stuff like that, then
I think I'll be all right on the crying front here, because I even cried earlier today because I went back through them and I was like, oh Jesus. But I think without the tone of the music, I might get away with it and I might not be bawling.
Get the guitar if you want me.
Or we can if we want to play a little. Bit of any of them we can, but it's one of them. If you play more than a few seconds and you're not talking over it, it's licensing and all that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But shall we? Or before we start, then just tell me a little bit about how the Patreon stuff works, because places podcasts plug Patreon all the time, and the norm for listeners is to listen to it and completely ignore it.
Absolutely.
Because I don't think it's explained much. But the thing with Patreon and that is that it can be a quid, it can be a fiver or whatever. But once you've done that pledge, they're going to forget about it. That's just going to come out, and they're not going to notice it. It's not a big commitment,
dollars as well.
But it can be a big thing for you guys, because it means that you can do it potentially full time at some point.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's something we actually gave a lot of thought to, because we've been lucky that so many people have got behind this podcast, mm-hmm. and that was all on the fact that it's for free. And so we didn't want to then sort of move it to Patreon and go, right, Patreon, if you want to listen to this, it's now going to cost you.
Yeah.
So the idea was we would continue to do what we've always done, which is each week release a free podcast.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you went and had a look at Patreon, where you can, you know, pledge a few quid or even a dollar, what's that, 70p?
Mm-hmm.
And there's sort of different stages of however much you put in. You know, you can get a lot for it. Each week we do a Patreon podcast as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, you get your normal one as free every week, but there is also a Patreon episode.
Yeah, and that is basically picked from someone suggests the top five, and we pick it from our patrons. And there's other rewards, such as you can leave messages for us to play on the show, or indeed we do a Patreon race where we take the piss out of our pledges, which, normally people say thank you, and we thought we'd put a different spin on it. So we just routinely abuse the people who listen to the show. Perfect. And weirdly, people are on board with that. Our listeners have got quite thick skin, and you know, they listen to us take the piss out of each other all day long, and they're on board with that as
well. It's a nice little community over there. You know, but these people, we've done a fair few live shows, which you've been kind enough to come on stage at a few, as Gail Porter, and we've had all sorts of guests come on the live shows, and these people are the ones that generally are patrons as well, will come to the live shows, and they're kind of like, they're pals now, aren't they? You know, we chat to them, and when we finished the live shows, we all went out and
have a drink.
Got hammered and had an ease up. It was great. And got another one coming up end of April, haven't we?
28th.
So it just felt like we was enjoying the podcast so much. It was like, look, how can we do this more? And the only way we can do this more is if we don't have to do our kind of daytime stuff.
Day jobs,
And at the moment, it's going the right way.
I mean, I like it, because again, people are used to these days, are used to getting stuff for free.
Yeah.
But people are making this stuff. Yeah. So whilst, even if people, my thought is even if you're not into any of the Patreon deals or offers, if you're listening every week, it's a quid a month.
Yeah.
For free entertainment. It's worth doing. It's a donation. But anyway, let's jump into the top five.
Let's do it.
So I'm going to stop and let Chris and Stu introduce and start the podcast again as if it's hardcore listing.
So, you want us to kind of host it?
Yeah, you run it as a hardcore listing, because I want people to see what it's like.
Right, all right, nice. Okay. Welcome to Hardcore Listing with me, Stuart Roy Whiffin, and my co-host,
Christopher William Glasson.
CGT.
Yeah, or CGT as we're known. So, this week, we have a wonderful guest.
Yeah.
The Podfather.
Yeah.
A Ricky Gervais.
I discovered that was actually his moniker.
You've called me the Podfather a few times, and I was sat there thinking, that's Gervais. But thanks, guys. I just won't repeat it.
The Essex Podfather.
So,
Pip, all right?
Yeah, how's it going?
Yes, we're all good. We're all good. I don't know why I've just said that. We've been sitting here for about an hour and a half.
And they've all been listening.
So, today we've decided we are going to do top five records that make us cry.
Yes.
Sure. How much gin you had?
I've had a bit of gin. Oh, that's it. Yeah, I've got miniatures. So, I've had two Bombay Sapphire miniatures, and I'm about to open my Gordon's gin miniature. Nice. But I chose gin because I drink the Scroobius from the Drunk Cast, but also gin is known as an alcohol that makes you cry. It's Mother's Ruin. It's that classic thing of it's a weepy one. So I thought it was fitting.
Going to pour myself another one. I'm having a gin. Chris, do you want to start banging on about fasting and healthy eating and how you're not drinking?
I noticed that me and you didn't get a memo, Stu, about what the address wear was for tonight, which is all black.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you've kind of gone a bit sort of ninja.
Somber.
Somber, mate.
Oh, God, sorry.
Somber and melancholy.
Let me get a black armband out.
Yeah.
It's been a sad day. We've lost Stephen Hawkins and Jim Bowen.
Oh. Stu's got his Technicolor dream coat on, as usual.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, so Jim Bowen and that's two extremes, isn't it?
Yeah,
Stephen Hawkins and Jim Bowen.
So should we do the top five in a countdown style? In a bullseye style?
In five.
Let's do it.
We're going to be crying throughout it.
In five.
So this is top five songs that make you cry.
Yes.
As with a lot of these, did you have any means of introducing rules? Like, what was you excluding from this?
Well, you said earlier about, you know, you've just got some songs where, like, you know, you just burst out in tears of joy. I just think, if I knew someone that was wandering through London with their iPod on and just burst into tears of joy.
Yeah,
I don't think I'd be going up and having a chat with them.
Okay.
I'm basing this more on songs when you're either feeling a bit sad,
yeah,
and you kind of want to wallow in it a little bit and enjoy it, or sometimes when you're feeling a bit sad and you want something that you can relate to or might help you feel a bit more positive.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of
sure. Because crying's nice, and I think having a good cry is good. And I've not actually told you guys this, but I came up with this because of your podcast, so I won't tell you which one. But you
tears
mentioned
of joy.
You mentioned a song on one of your podcasts, and it's one that makes me cry. And I stopped the podcast and listened to it on the train, and I didn't think about it as one that makes me cry. It's a song I love. I put it on, and it made me cry. And I got home and listened to it four or five times in a row because it was nice crying. It was a remembrance crying. It was a positive. Harking back
is it in your list?
It's in my list. Yeah.
Good. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's why I've not gone into it.
So that's a great.
Right. So we've not seen each other's lists either, have we? Because normally when we do this with a guest, they'll, as we just mentioned as well, like they'll do their five, and we might dot a couple in around it. But I think tonight we're going to do one each.
Yeah.
Like, so we'll have one each for five and four and so on, and we'll all have a number one.
Yeah. This is terrifying.
Is it?
Yeah. But that is a good thing. Like, so are all yours? So mine aren't. There's a couple that are more uplifting, make me happy.
Yeah.
Okay. So I've shed a tear.
On mine vary. Yeah. A few of them have got a personal story. Yeah. A few of them are just the lyrics told in the song.
All right.
Get me. Exactly. So yeah.
Well, you start, mate.
Right. Well, my first one is a song that Chris.
Sorry. Yeah. In five. Get yourself in a. Spin with his washer dryer.
So the first one, I think Chris might know, but Stu won't. It's a song called No Regrets by Aesop Rock.
A fucking major shout.
By Aesop Rock. And he's a great a rapper. And it's a story song. And it's just the most beautiful story. And I've played it to people because I love it. I've often played it to people who aren't that into kind of alternative hip-hop to kind of go, look, it's not all just yeah and rapping. It's these stories. And I won't go through all of it, but essentially it's about an autistic girl in many ways. It's a girl that's unusual, and it starts at her age 7, and she just draws on the sidewalks a lot, and people all think she's weird, but it's okay. And she doesn't talk to many people, but it's all good. And then it jumps to when she's in her 30s, and again, she's keeping to herself, and no one particularly knocks at her door. She's still just painting away. She sits in her house painting all day.
Yeah.
And the last verse, it jumps to when she's in hospital on her deathbed at 87, and she's surrounded by all her paintings. And there's just a few lines in it where it says, she'd never really talked to any of the nurses. Yeah, so on the nurses... She'd never spoken once throughout the spanning of her life until the day she leaned forward, grinned and pulled the nurse aside and said, look, I've never had a dream in my life because a dream is what you want to do but still haven't pursued. I knew what I wanted to do and did it until it was done. And so I've been the dream that I wanted to be since day one.
It's fucking amazing.
And it's this beautiful thing. And she's just all this talking about she's drawing on the sidewalk for ages, and then one day she just stops, and they say, oh, why are you giving up? She says, I'm not giving up, I've just finished.
Yeah.
And walks on, and that's kind of the theme throughout. And then after she says that line, the nurse jumps back. She never heard Lucy talk, especially words like that. She walked over to the door and pulled it closed behind, and Lucy blew a kiss to each one of her paintings, and then she died. And it gets me every time. It's just so beautiful. Just this story of someone who lives their own life the way they're doing it, but they're doing it right. There's such a thing now of you're not living a life right if you're not living it the way everyone else lives it.
Yeah.
And it's just such a beautiful song and story. Yeah. And I always forget until I'm playing it for someone.
Yeah.
And it's thankfully more often than not, it's been when I'm driving or something. So there's distractions. Every time I well up on that last bit where she says I've never had a dream in my life because a dream is what you want to do and still haven't achieved. And it's just beautiful.
Who's that by?
It's by Aesop Rock. And he's a really good rapper. He was on B. Dolan's album. He's someone that he formed a band. I played them a lot on the Beatdown. He formed a band with Kemi Dawson,
right?
Called The Uncluded, and their album was absolutely amazing. And no one was playing it in the UK, and I played it every show on the Beatdown. And yeah, is just he's this weird eccentric. He really weaves his words. Amazing rapper, but his stuff is stuff that I listen to now after a thousand listens, and I hear new things.
Yeah, because that is a lot of his other songs when he first came out, and you introduced me to him, and this is one of the first songs you got me hooked on. But a lot of it is a lot of wordplay, a lot of metaphors. It's not as easy to understand as No Regrets.
That's just a straight story.
And it's a straight story, but it is a dope story. It has an amazing punchline to it, like you say. And the production on it is so good as well. Yeah, it's beautiful. It's just enticing. And I considered it for my top five, mate, because it is that last paragraph that he says.
It's just this quirky story, and then it gets you. The quirky story side, I realise ages later, it's basically Starfish and Coffee by Prince.
Oh, right.
Which, again, is about this quirky girl who in a locker, she's got Starfish and Coffee. But it's just got that killer line at the end. And that just belief that she's... To everyone else, she's some weirdo who hasn't achieved anything. Yeah, to her, she's achieved everything she wanted in life. Yeah. And most people aren't going to do that. Yeah. But her goals were different. So, it's a beautiful one.
It's a great shout, mate. It is.
It seems fitting that you're saying it's a story and it's about a lifetime.
Yeah.
That I'm going to... You're right, Fargo next then, Chris.
Why didn't
I like this band. I think they're great songwriters. They're not one of my favourite bands or anything. But Up the Junction by Squeeze.
Right.
You know the song?
Yeah, ish. I don't remember it that well. Of course. Yeah.
And it's just a story. It has no chorus, this song, either.
It'd make me cry if it sounded like that.
And it's just about a relationship, a lifetime of it as well. And so... It's one of them songs that, for me, when I used to write songs, I'd write so I could almost see the video as well as I was writing.
And I'd like
to picture it. And I don't think there's that many songs from other artists that I listen to where I think, if I'm walking along and I've got my headphones on, I can almost picture if I was to make a video for this, how I would do it and stuff like that. But this song, I just think it's just there. And there's nothing... clever about the lyrics. They're fucking great lyrics, make no mistake, but
what's the story about
him meeting a girl
and
then how their life goes? So I'll give you a few lyrics. It starts with, "I never thought it would happen with me there and the girl from Clapham on a windy common that night ain't forgotten when she dealt out the rations with some or other passions. I said you are a lady, perhaps she said I may be. We moved into our basement with thoughts of our engagement. We stayed in by the telly although the room was smelly. We spent our time just kissing. The railway arms were missing, but love has got us hooked up, and all our time it took up." And so it then goes on to how he got a job, and the winter, and then this morning at 4:50, I took a rather nifty down to the incubator, where 30 minutes later she gave birth to our daughter. Within a year of Walker, she looked just like her mother, if there could be another. And then the last two lots, this song's called Up the Junction, and now she's 2 years older. Her mother's with a soldier. She left me when my drinking become a proper stinging. The devil came and took me from bar street to bookie. From bar to street to bookie. No more nights by the telly, no more nappy smelling. Alone here in the kitchen, I feel like something's missing. I beg for some forgiveness, but begging's not my business. And she won't write a letter, although I always tell her. And so it's my assumption I'm really up the junction. And I just love it. I just love the fact that it goes from meeting someone to having children to working... and to drinking and to it going wrong.
And
to just sitting there alone thinking, I can see why it all happened.
And what a powerful song too, because not a lot of songs go in painful directions in that manner. And you've got kids and a family.
Yeah.
And
a gin in front of me at the moment.
Well, that's it. Everyone I know who's got kids and a family has at some point had a rough patch and, a shaky period.
Mm. Yeah.
And a song like that kind of showing... how horrible it could be is a real one to make you pull your finger out of your ass and go, oh shit, this is...
Absolutely. And
you don't get that a lot from songs. That's kind of a weird one. It's normally either, women, fuck it, how great it is to be single or
and it's a really jolly song.
Yeah.
Like the music, it's the... Although, you'd be surprised, Chris, I've got no Smiths in this tonight.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it's got that thing that Smiths do well, which is really upbeat tunes, but with really somber lyrics.
Yeah. I tell you what's a great example of that, and I've been listening to it a lot recently. I was thinking it'd be good, a top five of songs that sound happy but are sad, but Hey Ya by Outkast.
Yeah.
It's so sad. And right. Going over the lyrics of that, they're all really sad. And it's about being in love, but wondering if your partner's only there because they don't want you to leave, if they really want to be with someone else. Yeah. And it's all this, all clappy and cheery, but the lyrics are the saddest lyrics. Yeah. And real painful analysis
crying
of relationships.
Crying on the inside, basically.
Yeah. And he says, there's a line in it on one of the ad-libs where he's saying that you don't want to hear me, you just want to dance or something like that. And then it just breaks into a clappy bit and it's, it's amazing.
Christopher.
So this is a cover.
This is your number five.
It's a cover, Under the Bridge by the All Saints.
Right.
It's not that.
Fuck's sake.
This is actually... a song that's happy, makes me feel good.
Yeah.
And it's a song that doesn't actually relate, pertain to, you know, any life experience. But it's kind of a love song.
Yeah.
It's Regina Spektor, Us.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful.
And it's just, it's got a... So even beyond words, just the rolling piano in it.
That piano, just looping around like that is...
It's wistful and beautiful and romantic.
Yeah,
and
I get that.
And then you've got the use of a violin, which for me is my favourite instrument. I love it. I think the violin can do so many things, and it's used really well here. And then you've got her voice in it, and it's just the sweetness of her voice and the pitch and her shrills in it.
Yeah.
It just feels beautiful, like in its inception, and it gets me every time. And then you've got the lyrics, and the lyrics again, it's effectively about, well, for me, for my interpretation, it's just about a young love and love in its innocence and it kills me. The music video is really good for it, but she's done lots of good songs, but this does stick out
on that album. She's got a few she's got one that's about cancer essentially and someone choosing that they'd rather have a limo than chemo and just decide I'm just going to die. I'd rather go out on a high and spend on, and things like that are heartbreaking. Yeah. But I definitely get the uplifting tears one as well. I know I bang on about it a lot, but a Super Bob is with Brett Goldstein is a favourite film of mine. And when they dance in the old people's home, every time it tears me up. Yeah. Every time there's tears in my eyes because it's just so beautiful. Yeah. The music is done so well and all the build-up beforehand of the ridiculousness of it to just break into this moment of fucking beauty.
Yeah.
I well up every time.
Totally,
and that's as teary.
Crying can be cathartic and it can help you connect and unleash emotions that you need to. And we're going to get into that, trust me.
Yeah.
But it does have beauty to it, obviously. Why it made it is because why that song makes me cry, and yet I don't think it's not to me about any of my relationships.
Yeah.
It's not about any of my good ones. It's not about any of my terrible ones that I regret. It's just about the beauty of it, and it's about how well... I get upset about how well she's written that song and how beautiful it sounds.
Yeah.
That kills me. And, you know, just to think that humans can do that really gets me. Yeah. And her lyrics, so... Oh, dear. I'm welling up, and this isn't even one that should get me upset that much. Even the first verse, they made a statue of us, then they put it on a mountaintop. Now tourists come and stare at us, blow bubbles with their gun, taking photographs of fun, have fun. They'll name a city after us, and later say it's all our fault. Then they'll give us a talking to, because they've got years of experience. I just think it's beautiful. We're talking about, you know, like how it is young love and how people think they may know better. And then the very last lines, because she says they made a statue of us quite a lot in it. And the last thing she says is they made a statue of us. And in her pitch on this, she says our noses have begun to rust. So it's just funny.
Yeah.
But the pitch she hits with that, with humour and beauty, oh, gets me. So, that's my number five.
Basically. I love that. That's a great choice. And it is good when... Because again, I've got ones in here that have a great personal connection, but I've got one that, and I know you normally do honourable mentions at the end, but one that didn't make it is actually a cover as well, because I love Kate Bush, but Placebo's cover of Running Up That Hill.
Yeah, strong.
And it's not an association to any one relationship or friend or anything else, but it's an association to many. Like I can apply it to so many when it's ever only could make a deal with God to swap our places.
Yep.
It fucking ruins me every time thinking about mates, exes, current family, everything, just anyone that is like, who you know you've had that moment where someone that means a lot to you is going through something horrendous and you're like, fuck, I would give anything to swap right now. And that crushes me. But again, it's exactly the same. It's not about a specific moment or person or individual. It's just that in general, that emotion that you would do anything in that moment to swap places, perfectly articulated. And I'm not even that much of a Placebo fan, but their cover of it was just fucking perfect. It slowed it all down and got that passion out of there. It's a beauty.
So what is your four?
So my four... Now...
Get your hands off that, it's a Scarlet Trick set.
And my four is 100% serious, and you're all going to laugh, but it's genuinely a song that's... Don't look, Stu. He's going to laugh the most. You might actually agree, but laugh a bit as well.
All right.
It's... Things have happened in recent years that make it... As the next words I say, everyone listening is going to laugh, but... Two Little Boys... by Rolf Harris.
Mate.
It's one of my dad's favourites.
And obviously, he's done horrendous things and there's all these charges, but that song has always just... And Rolf Harris, before all the horrible stuff, even he was this joke musician, and I went to see him at Glastonbury, and then he did that and I was in tears, and I was like, fuck, I forgot, it's meant to be a joke, it's meant to be... He's got his wobble board and all that. But it's a beautiful song.
Yeah.
When Spud sings it at Tommy's funeral in Trainspotting. Fuck. That is... Oh, it's horrible.
And for such a song that's so silly and laughed at, it's... For anyone who doesn't know, it starts out, it's two little boys had two little toys and each was a wooden horse. And it's talking about them playing and then one falls off and the other says, Dad, you think I'd leave you crying when there's room on my horse for two? Climb up here, Jack, and don't be crying. I can go just as fast with two. And then it goes on to the next bit where they've gone to war.
It's fucking amazing.
And one of them's been shot, he's in the battlefield, he's alone, and then the other just comes. And the way he builds it up so beautifully, and then just comes in beautifully saying, Dad, you think I'd leave you dying when there's room on my horse for two? Climb up here, Joe. As soon we'll be flying, I can go just as fast with two. And it continues on, but it's just... And then it says, Did you say, Joe, I'm all a tremble? Perhaps it's the battle noise, but I think it's that I remember when we were two little boys.
Mate,
that gets me. It's so beautiful.
Did he write that?
I'm not sure. I looked and there's a few covers, but it's credited to him on the lyrics. It's credited to him on the lyrics website I went to. But it's such a beautiful story of kids and war. And again, I'm not a big fan of war or anything, but the beauty of all of that just... Yeah, and I just remember... Always thinking it was decent, and then being at Glastonbury, probably on some drugs, being a bit wild, like, let's go and see Rolf Harris for a laugh. And then being a mess, just being like, don't look around at any of my mates, because it's all kicked in. I think maybe that until that point, I hadn't realised what the song was about, because it was Rolf Harris. It's a wobble board, it's a bit of a joke. And in that moment, I heard it for the first time. Like a white man can't jump, where he's saying that white people can't hear him. They can hear him, but they can't hear Jimmy. Yeah, they can't hear Jimmy. It was like that. I'd heard it a million times, and in that field, I fucking heard it, and I was like... And I didn't want to show weakness in front of my mates. I didn't want everyone else is just drunk, and there's kangaroos being inflatable kangaroos thrown
about.
That's
such a good chat.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
It has that, interestingly, a bit like No Regrets, your first one, it has that delivery in the second half of the song that sort of ties it together, and that punchline of him picking his best mate up.
Because it practically stops... doesn't it? And then just quote, did you think? And it just builds up like a drum beat coming
in. I think there's like almost like a soldier's drum roll. Yeah. Like almost like a march.
Yeah,
to
completely.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck Rolf Harris.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, obviously, it's even more.
Did you cry because you went backstage?
That's it. That's the problem. It's even more unmentionable because number one, it's Rolf, and number one, it's called Two Little Boys, for fuck's sake. It's the ultimate. Yeah. It's why I almost didn't put it on there, but because I thought we're going to laugh, but. It's fucking... It gets me every time, man. Yeah. Yeah, it's a beautiful one.
No, it's
that's my
shout.
Number four.
Very good shout.
Okay.
Stewie?
We're all getting a bit teary already now, aren't we? And so, even on each other's ones, this is tough.
This is without the fucking songs, because I would be full on...
Yeah.
Right. I'm going to go for... I'll keep the obvious one at three. So, my number four... It's called Still Fighting It by Ben Folds.
Right, I don't know.
It was off, I think he put an album out. He had a track called Rocking the Suburbs, which was a bit of an MTV hit after he went solo from Ben Folds 5. Ben Folds 5 had tracks like Brick, which are fucking incredible. Yep. And I'm not a massive fan of Ben Folds, but I got sent the album by one of the promo companies years ago. And I stuck it on, and I think my daughter was about 4. And you have that thing when you when you become a parent, when you sort of think, like, oh, God, I hope they don't get any of my bad qualities. You know, you want your kid to kind of be shaped for all the right things. Do you know what I mean?
Well, just in the visage of their mother,
basically. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, not me. And I just heard this song, and I was driving to work. At the club, and it was just, I'd see it in my car, and it just done me, and it just, sometimes when you listen to an album for the first time, you don't necessarily take in the lyrics.
But
I think with parenting as well, I always thought, I'm going to be such a great dad.
Yeah.
I'm going to be such a great dad, and like, it's going to be so easy, and it's not easy, and you know, and you do have times when you think, fuck's sake, fucking hell, and like, obviously, as I was saying to you earlier, I was getting stressed because I couldn't get the Wi-Fi to work.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't want my kids to inherit kind of my tantrums because I can't get Wi-Fi to work and other things such. Anyway, so it's just about getting old, which I can relate to. And it starts, and he's obviously wrote it for his son, but he's looking at himself as he's doing that. So it's, good morning, son, I'm a bird. Wearing a brown polyester shirt. You want a Coke, maybe some fries. The roast beef combo's only $9.95. But it's okay, you don't have to pay. I've got all the change. Because everybody knows it hurts to grow up. And everybody does. It's so weird to be back here. Let me tell you what. The years go on and on, but we're still fighting it. We're still fighting it. And then it says, good morning, son. 20 years from now, maybe we'll both sit down and have a few beers. And I can tell you about today and how I picked you up and everything changed. It was pain, sunny days and rain. I knew you'd feel the same things. But then there's the line, and you're so much like me, I'm sorry. It fucking does me.
Mate.
And like, and when I heard that line, I just thought, oh, shit. Yeah. And you'll try and try, and one day you'll fly away from me. And yeah, it's a fucking great song. It's just him at a piano.
Yeah.
And like, and it's just him struggling to grow up and be an adult. And all these little kind of struggles, he obviously doesn't want to... That's my perception of it, anyway.
He doesn't
want his children to inherit.
And that's 100% the key thing to all songs, is it's your interpretation of it.
Of course.
One of the reasons I generally turn down when people ask me to explain lyrics, because, like, that doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
I meant no longer matters. It's what it means. So I don't want to give too much, because I had that... I don't want to say, but there's a Pearl Jam song that I loved and adored... Have either of you got any Pearl Jam in your...
No, I very nearly...
Better Man. Is that right? And when I found out what it was about, it ruined it a bit, because it wasn't quite what I thought, but it just... That's one that really... That was close. That almost got in there, because it's just... Again, it's heartbreaking, but as soon as I read actually about this or whatever else, I was like, oh, that's not how I read it. I read it as a girl he liked or something, and things like that. And it wasn't good enough, but it's about his mum, isn't it? And things like that. So that was key to me.
Yeah.
Pretty early on, I was like, right, I'm not going to explain mine, because people deserve, as soon as you choose to release your art, it's not yours anymore, man.
Big shout.
You can't ruin that.
Big shout to that line in Black, though, from Pearl Jam.
Which line?
I hope one day you'll have a beautiful life
in somebody else's sky. But why can't it be? Can't it be mine? That's beautiful. Yeah. Again, that's another one.
Yeah.
And Pearl Jam, I'm surprised they haven't made it onto any of my list, because they're real ones that you can. Yeah. There's lines... I like that just kill
wave you. Came crashing like a...
And Better Man is a direct... Yeah. For anyone who's listening who happens to have heard any of my songs before, but it completely inspired my track 5 Minutes, which is about an abusive relationship with someone to get away. And I didn't realise until ages later, and it came on, I was like, oh yeah, that was the thing that made me go, I need to write this song. And I'd just forgotten about it. I'd gone like, oh, where did this come from? But yeah. That's killer, though, and particularly when you've got kids and it's that.
It's
when that song comes out of nowhere and speaks directly to you.
Yeah.
It's brutal.
And do you know what? It's one of them ones where every now and again I'll play it to someone and they're like, fucking hell. I put it on Facebook today.
Yeah.
I put a little thing up just saying, doing some prep for tonight. And one of our listeners just went, I can't listen to that song. Every time I listen to that song, it fucking does me. And yeah. Like, that's, yeah, it's, it wasn't a hit. I don't even think it was a single. But yeah, it's a cracker.
It's weird. And Chris is next. But it's weird because these songs can be anything. So one that completely speaks to you and connects with you.
Yeah.
And my next one, which I'll get to after Chris, is one that I can't relate to at all. It's not a world I'm from or anything, but it destroyed the thought of it. Similar to what Chris was saying about us being not about any of his own relationship, but just the thought of that being a thing is beautiful.
Mm.
I've had one like that. That again, the actual lyrics, I can't relate to it at all, but it destroys me.
Yeah.
But go on, you're next,
Chris. No, I was just going to go back to that on yours, Stu, because it's sort of, firstly, you're a great dad and you shouldn't have to worry. You don't need to worry about that, but I guess you don't know until some songs, like you, it was like you were saying with the You Can't Hear Jimmy.
Yeah.
And then you'll be in a certain situation one day where those lyrics absolutely just hit you and you're like, oh my God. And they might play on maybe insecurities that you have as a father. So yeah, I can see the impact of that, mate. And did you say was you driving when that sort of hit you? There's not, because that comes up in my number one, but there's not insurance cover for that.
Oh, do you know what? I've got a quick one, right? That it ain't even a song, but know when you're hungover and that can magnify a few tears, can't it?
Yeah.
Driving home one morning, I'd had a lot to drink the night before, and
tough guy.
Adelaide, and thought, right, I'm feeling a bit rough, I'm going to drive home. And it was the charity version of Perfect Day. With former Hardcore Listening guest Huey Morgan. And it was just on in the car on the radio, and I pulled up to the Five Bells roundabout, and just as I pulled up, a car pulled up next to me, at which point Gabrielle, I'm gonna spend it with you, and I just went and just fucking lost it.
I'm so alone.
And literally, I just remember this woman like in the car, like turning around and looking at me and almost going for the kind of Gary Lineker sort of like Gazza wink and sort of motion to me like, you're right. And I was like,
he's gone.
And like, I'm fine.
Gary Lineker Gazza wink. That's perfect description of it. You know.
Beautiful.
Oh dear. Right.
She might have thought you had someone in the boot.
You never know. You never know, mate.
Stan.
Chris.
Where you at, buddy?
Number four. Breaks Off by Limp Bizkit.
Right.
No, again, bullshit. So, do you know what? I nearly had number four was a dance tune, but actually it got muscled out by another one. This is going a little bit like what you were saying with Placebo and their cover of Running Up That Hill, well, even the Kate Bush song, and your interpretation of it, in the sense that this makes me cry more because of seeing my mate sad, and it's quite a literal interpretation as well. So, this was when...
This is Sad Mates.
And this is when one of our friends, Sam, passed away.
Yeah.
Sam passed away and had an epileptic fit in his sleep, unfortunately. I knew Sam. I got on with Sam, but I wasn't close to Sam, as it were. But obviously, he was still a friend. I still went to the funeral. But they played Chili Peppers, My Friends, at that funeral.
Oh, mate.
And seeing my mates so sad, and I was familiar with that song anyway, but seeing my mates so cut up with it, that made it even worse for me. Do you know what I mean? So it's kind of like I was seeing my mates crack, and you know they love Sam dearly. He was a real key part of our friend's social group.
And I was in the same boat that I knew Sam. I thought Sam was great, but I never knew him that well. I was I was out of town. I was Stamford rather than that area that everyone all kicked it. But yeah.
And that's just a sad song. And I know that you, Stu, not a big fan of the Chili Peppers.
I love them for loads of songs.
Yeah.
For at Sam's funeral, our mate Jay's funeral. Yeah. He's going to come up again later. spoiler alert.
Strap in.
Our best friend that died is going to come up later and we're going to have a good cry about it.
He hung himself. Spoiler alert.
On his birthday. Tune in. It's going to be heavy, but it's going to be beautiful. But yeah, it's the same. I've got that with Chili Peppers. And again, there's a lot of joke. Like, Chili Peppers are a poked fun at band in that kind of...
You never we all enjoyed the Pink Toothbrush without mocking me and Give It Away.
That's because you were on the one show talking about clubs, and just after they said, how have you kept this club going for so long? And you said, the important thing really is moving with the times.
Yeah.
And then it cut to you DJs, give it away, give it away now! From like 15, 20 years ago. The most important thing is moving with the times.
Give it away now.
Damn it, the kids.
But yeah, no, I'm the same, because at that era of us, when we knew Jay and when we knew Sam and all them, Chili Peppers were one of them bands, along with Incubus,
that maybe don't
feel credible anymore, but they were everything at that point. Yeah. That was the coolest shit.
They were good songs, man. To say My Friends, which was off One Hot Minute, which again, people say it's a weak record. I actually thought it was really solid.
Yeah.
It's a somber song. It's got beautiful lyrics, and it has a little interpretation. I mean, back in those days as well, I was doing a lot of drugs.
Yeah,
lots of drugs.
I'd put that as my favourite Chili Peppers song.
Oh,
you know?
Really?
I'd agree on that. Well, just it is. It's beautiful. It's got that. It's as much as you can laugh at their songs for their a white guy really rapping and doing these weird, weird voices. That was just beautiful songwriting.
He's been through some rough times as well, Kildy. Oh, so like he does write from experience, I feel.
I don't think it counts, because whatever he's been through, he's never not had a six-pack. And he's always looked the shit.
Yeah.
You still see him now. He's got a fucking shit moustache, but he still looks cool.
His hair and moustache, he just looks like a nonce now.
But it doesn't matter. He still looks the shit.
I can back Stu up there. Life is a lot better when you've got a six-pack, so it is really...
Hey!
Oh, dear.
Lyrics.
Yeah, go for some. This is going to hit me.
I'll just start with the start of it. Oh, God. My friends are so depressed. I feel the question of your loneliness. Confide, because I'll be on your side. You know I will. Ex-girlfriend called me up, alone and desperate on the prison phone. They want to give her 7 years for being sad. I love all of you. Hurt by the cold. So hard and lonely too, when you don't know yourself. My friends are so distressed and standing on the brink of emptiness. No words I know of to express this emptiness. And then it goes on to this like punchline again. It's a bit of a punchline in the song, and it's just that innocence again of youth. And he says, "I heard a little girl, and what she said was something beautiful." And then the conclusion is to give your love no matter what. And that's it. Oh, and it just gets me, cuts me up, because I think of that, and obviously it ties into Jay somewhat.
Sure.
Yeah. But seeing that point, we'd been through Jay's passing, and then for it to be at Sam's funeral and to see everyone so torn up, it gets me.
And that's the weird thing, having experienced that sadness yourself, but then kind of having a bit of half guilt of not really experiencing it in the same way that those guys are. And again, I had completely that. I was like, he was a good dude, but I wasn't as close as these other people were. Yeah. And that's what cut me up about it. And every time, like, there's been points that people have posted pictures of Sam, and it's destroyed me. And it's not even, I feel guilty because it's destroying me off of other people's memories.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not even that if he hadn't passed, would he even recognise me in the street at this point? Yeah. If you don't even know, there's a chance we wouldn't have known it. I mean, I'm famous as fuck.
You are famous as fuck.
He probably would, but it's, you know, still.
You keep sending us letters about it in the mail.
You know, when families do their mail rounds of how everyone's are doing. I do that to my mates. Well, I've actually just had Jimmy Iovine on the podcast. I don't know if you... But yeah, no, it is that weird one, because you've got a different kind of sadness, because it is that sadness, as you said, of your mates, of your pals.
Totally. And I had to put a Chili Pepper one in, because there was a few back in those times that used to get me upset.
Yeah.
But I was on the thing of highs and lows of, you know, I used to take a lot of ecstasy, and like at the weekends I'd be very happy. Yeah. And then, like, come Wednesday, I was, like, walking down the street literally on the verge of crying. So I think that and Chili Peppers had to stick kind in for that thing.
So
we're going on to a next one. Well, it wouldn't be a hardcore listing if it wasn't in two fucking parts. So let's pause now. Yeah. Okay. And then we'll continue in part two.
Let's do it.
That works?
Okay. Yes.
You've been listening to Scroobius Pip's Discretion Pieces.
There you go. That was part one. And you see, we were starting to get a bit teary there. Dear God, it was emotional. As the boys, I can't remember if we mentioned it in this half or in the next half, but the boys will be doing a hardcore listing, a playlist for this episode on Spotify. So, yeah. Check that out. What I'm going to do now, I mentioned in that one that Hey Ya by Outkast is a, I think it was at the end, it's hard to remember because I was on the gin, but either at the end of this one or at the beginning of the next one, I mentioned Hey Ya as a song that's really positive and up-tempo, but the lyrics are really sad. So I'm going to go over the lyrics now and break them down, how sad they are for you. My baby don't mess around because she loves me so, and this I know for sure. But does she really want it, but can't stand to see me walk out that door? Don't try to fight the feeling, because the thought alone is killing me right now. Thank God for Mum and Dad for sticking through together, because we don't know how. So that's starting off quite bleak, about saying your missus doesn't cheat on you, probably because she loves you, but it might just be because she doesn't want it all to fall apart, and she kind of would like someone else, but it's too high a price to pay. Right, you think you got it all, you think you've got it, but God, it just don't get it till there's nothing at all. We've been together, but separate's always better when there's feelings involved. This is the bit that's the heartbreaking line, and kind of, let's not overthink it, because it will depress us all. If what they say is nothing lasts forever, then what makes love the exception? Why are we so in denial when we know we're not happy here? And then he's got a little ad-lib of, y'all don't want to hear me, you just want to dance, which, man, is there ever a more accurate lyric there? Because that's a song that everyone dances to. It's, hey, shake it, like I've heard of, and all that kind of thing. But yeah, it's sad. Y'all don't want to hear me, you just want to dance. Anyway. I thought I'd share that sadness with you, as if the sadness so far hasn't been enough. Part two, you do not want to miss. And on two-part podcasts, there's normally always a drop-off of some sort, because people are busy, they can't put aside the time for two parts. Honestly, you don't want to miss part two, because it's really nice, man. We get a bit, or me and Stu get a bit drunk, and we all get very, very emotional, and we open ourselves up in an honest way that you don't often get all over the place on podcasts and whatnot. So yeah, I'll see you at midday. Bye.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.